Talktainment Radio, Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with This is Libby. I'm Libby, and this is radio the way it should be heard. With me, with us, is Dr. Akele. My heart, my mentor. Ah, she's a sister who got your back. And I wanted to let you know that you can call in at 1-877-932-9766 and talk to you, some Libby and Dr. Akele. We are on the same page when it comes to subject matter, because I want to talk to you about something I heard just today. It may be common for you, common knowledge. However, it was a little bit new for this sister right here, and that's Candida auris. And Dr. Akele says she wants to talk about our environment, our physical body environment. So I know this is going to have lots of good information for you. So just remember that you can call at 1-877-932-9766. Talk to you some, Libby. All right, Dr. Akele, I'm happy to be with you. And I want to know, is there anything in particular on your heart, Dr. Akele? Anything?
Yes. This body, the habitation that our Maker has given to us, taking care of it internally and externally. And most of the time, we think about the external, but I want to concentrate on the internal today.
Oh, good. So this absolutely has a little bit of everything to do with the presence of lions, tigers, and bugs. Oh, my. Yes. All right. So let me just take a look real quick, and I'll share with you. Mm-hmm. Candida auris is an emerging fungus that presents a serious global threat. A serious global threat. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'll see if I can make it better. It was first described in 2009, and it's often acquired by hospitalized patients with weakened immune systems. I am a respiratory therapist. Retired, happily retired. However, when I hear something like this, I just get the all overs. Because a fungus, when we think about a fungus, it's usually, oh yeah, sure. Or let's just say you've been on an antibiotic. And some of us, men and women, when we are on antibiotics, we have a tendency to get a yeast infection, an overgrowth of yeast infection, because the antibiotic works so well. It killed off the good stuff as well as the bad stuff. So it leaves our internal environment, as Dr. Akele says, vulnerable. So we get an overgrowth of yeast, and then you go back to the doctor, and you have to get something to knock that out as well. Right. This particular strain is no joke. It's deadly, and I'll read and share with you a little more. It was first described in 2009, correct? And it happens to get to those people who have the weakened immune system. Now, our immune system is mega. It takes care of pretty much everything. This will overdrive, override, over everything, and take over your body. And it's what bothers me the most. That's why I'm going to hesitate a bit here. What bothers me the most is that it is found in places where people are hospitalized and or healthcare facilities that have long-term patients, okay? So let me describe it for you. The reason why the CDC is concerned for this particular strain of yeast is or fungus is because it's often multi-drug resistant. You understand what I'm talking about? We normally go to the physician's office and say, hey, I got a yeast infection. Give us just a break here. Now say, okay, and they'll write you a script. You go to the pharmacy, you pick it up, it's done. Within days, it's over. This one is resistant to multi-antifungal drugs commonly used to treat candida infections. And if you want, Dr. Akele, chime in with me on this because you may know a little bit more than I learned just today. I learned this on the news. You know, it's like, okay, I'm drinking my warm cup of something. And, you know, the woman comes on and says, there's a bug out here that you better take a look at. And I'm like, really? So based on the research, you know, pages and pages flipped over and over, and just came up with all this information. I just feel you need to know about it because it can affect you or your loved ones. And I need you to know about this. So the normal usual medications for the yeast infection or fungus is it's just resistant to it. It's like, really? Then the second statement that was made is it's difficult to identify with standard lab methods. Are you kidding me? You got all, y'all know, you got all these wonderful labs and you have to have specific technology in order to even recognize this presence in your body. And remember this, please. Misidentification may lead to inappropriate management. Your thoughts, Dr. Akele? You have some thoughts for me.
Yes. You spoke about Candida, right?
Yes. Okay. Or this one is Candida auris. And auris is A-U-R-I-S. And in Latin, it means ear. Now that doesn't, the word ear. However, it moves, the definition moves further away from the ear, unless, of course, you got an ear infection.
Don't really have so much on that to talk about now when it comes to Candida, but I do know that generally there are things natural that one can use to eradicate Candida.
I might
not go directly on that now, maybe at another time, but I do know that for whatever else you, more often than not, it is sometimes inadequate living conditions, external cleanliness, that could cause that.
Yes.
Negligence of caring for the
But
you know, a lot of times, some of these things can also manifest externally due to the internal condition of the body. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we pay more attention to the external instead of the internal. For instance.
Yes.
You get a situation that is called like leaky gut syndrome.
Yes.
What causes that? Is the lining in the bowels, in the inside of the body, the intestines, the colon, the digestive tract. When it is not being properly taken care of, so certain things, food, leak out of the system and into the blood. And you have a poisoning of the blood. A poisoning of the system. So, and we have to ensure that there is a good function of the bowel, and we must obey health laws. We must chew our food well. We must not eat too much at a time. We must eat at regular intervals. Anyway,
yes.
I'm taking much at a time.
No.
But anyway, the area, the focus where I'm going with all this is that we have a habitation that we need to take care of. When you have a congested environment, like in a house, like say like maybe in the lower part of your house, mm-hmm. and then near like where you have the washing machines and the dryers and all that, these places get very close to the wall. And if you, and then you have boxes and so many things congested, if you don't take good care of those places and clean them from time to time, rats may find their way to hide in there.
Rats.
And before you know it, or cockroaches, woo! Then you have an infestation. So that is our physical environmental habitation. But in our own natural habitation, the human body, we take in a lot all the time. If we don't clean that inside,
yes.
things clog up, stick to the walls of the intestine, and before we, or the colon, before we know it, we have something built up there for a long time. So what we need to do is to decongest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes there is a lot of toxic waste that builds up. And you find people having, sometimes there is headache, there is tummy ache,
yes.
and there is lack of digestion, acid reflux and all that. And it's all from the things that have built up. So once in a while, just like you decongest the house, it is good to take a flush. There are natural things. It could be like garlic enema. There are also other more powerful things that you could use as with warm water to give yourself an enema, a retention enema that you can hold up for like a 10 to 15 minutes as you can and let go.
Yes.
When you do that, yes. maybe like 2 or 3 times in a week, you will be amazed at the quantity of stuff that can come out of your system, decongest. You know, you remove waste from your waste.
You're right.
A lot of people go about with huge tummies, and mm-hmm. some of these are toxic waste, and then they have back ache, lower back pain.
Yes.
You find that when these are flushed off and with good care, teaching them how to take care of this in this body, they begin to find a release.
Yes.
They
yes.
begin to feel much better.
Yes.
This is the much. I'll like Libby to take it from there. I want to go deeper, but let her go from there, and I'm going to say how we're going to go step by step into this. And before I start,
yes,
I want to
ahead.
Say that the American Dietetic Association did say that a vegetarian diet is adequate to supply across the ages all your nutritional needs. And somebody may say, how, what is that? How can I do that? I'm going to tell you that it is doable and it's very possible and it is actually the best for you so far.
This is a balanced conversation, yes. because Dr. Akele is talking about the maintenance, the routine maintenance of right. your body to avoid problems and then keep you from spending your money, large amounts of money, for having to right. go to a physician or having tests run or even being hospitalized. That leaky gut is very, very serious, and it can get you hospitalized for a long period of time. This runs into my conversation with you as well mm-hmm. about the candida auris, right. because the third particular piece of information was shared on this site, which it has caused outbreaks in healthcare settings. That's where it's being located. That's where you can see where it is. It also says that if you have been in a hospital care setting or a healthcare setting like most health care facilities is what they called it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it can take, you have to take special precautions
right.
to stop it from spreading.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a note, excuse me, and it said, this involves your bloodstream, the central nervous system,
mm-hmm.
and your internal organs. So Dr. Akele and I right. can both have it. and it might affect my kidneys, or it might affect my liver, and it might affect her pancreas or her uterus, or, you know, just one of those major organs. So it depends on the person, where it affects you, where your weaknesses are. And then cultures of blood and other body fluids are used to diagnose this. This is real serious business. Now, I want to share with you that I got to do this now because this is important. You see, TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7 no charge worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts, and they deliver various topics such as health and wellness, religion, politics, sports, law, and lifestyle. Now, what I want you to do is pay attention that there are many, not only This is Libby, but there's the Wellness Spot. Right. There's the Compensatory Concept, there's Wiggins World of Wellness, there's New Money, and Talking Sports with Mr. Bobby. These are a few. So if you have an interest in any type of subject, go to TalkTainmentRadio.com, look up programs, and click one of those, whichever one interests you, and enjoy yourself. And when these shows are on live, you can call in and talk to us as well. That's at 1-800-1-800. I am rattled. Oh, this subject worked my nerves. 1-877-932-9766 and call you some Libby. Now you can go to Talktainment and you'll know that it's radio the way it should be heard. Now that I'm not rattled anymore, Dr. Akele is with me to help discuss your environment, your internal and external environment. What I'm talking about, which I'm sharing with you, we're going to do this together, is the Candida auris fungal infection that can get into the body through your bloodstream. It's tested by blood, other body functions, but it can affect all your organs, all kinds of organ problems. And it's so very resistant to the typical, normal, usual way to be treated and because of this strain, you have to have specific technology just to catch it. It looks like something else, or it'll look like something else, but if you don't get it right when you do the lab work with the specific technology, you can misdiagnose that, and you'll get the inappropriate treatment. I think I got that one together. And then CDC.gov, the Center for Disease Control, says that this strain has been causing severe illnesses in hospitalized patients. I'm stressing that because you don't go and touch a doorknob, okay? You don't go into your friendly neighborhood grocery store and take it in. You don't inhale it. This is something that's that has to do with physical body internal stuff like your bloodstream. This stuff gets into your bloodstream. I'll explain as best I can.
Okay. Can I chime in with that?
Well, of course you can.
Okay.
Love
now
to.
That you're talking about the hospital environment and infections, it is important that people also know that apart from the hand washing that is mandatory and it saves lives, I thank God for that, you can also use essential oils to arm yourself. With this infectious fungal infection, anyway, that is resistant, I'd like you to know that there are powerful essential oils that you can always carry in your pocket anytime, just for protection. One of such oils is frankincense. You remember frankincense? Was
yes.
That oil, for those who are familiar with the religious scripture in the New Testament, is one of those three oils that was given to Jesus by the wise men that came. It is a very, very powerful oil. It is a very, actually, as a matter of fact, most essential oils, and I'm talking about natural organic essential oils, not mixed with chemicals. So most essential oils are they are antibacterial, they are antifungal,
yes,
they are They are very protective. And oil like frankincense is an oil that can actually help with even depressions, anxiety, and improves memory and pain. So if you have an essential oil like this, even if it is ordinary peppermint oil, rub it around your hands, your neck, your temples, and all the pressure points, and it will help, you know, to prevent, to ward off bacterial infection. So it is good to have them because essential oils are powerful antioxidants. They create an unfriendly environment for any free radicals. They work as free radical scavengers. And they prevent cell mutation, they prevent fungus, and they prevent cellular oxidation. So essential oils contain certain chemicals in them. This one has a big name, it's called sesquiterpenes. These chemicals, they have the ability to pass through the blood-brain barrier.
Good.
So even when you have this candida auris, you can actually even put frankincense in a transparent capsule gel, and according to the doses, there are doses for this, and swallow it so that it can work from inside out. And you can mix essential oils, have a blend of three or four, you know, depending on the potency, and rub them all over your body, rub them on the sole of your feet, put on the socks and sleep, put at the back of your head, rubber, you know, all around you, because they are lipid soluble and are capable of penetrating cell walls, even those hardened areas, because of oxygen deficiency. Those parts of your cell membrane, essential oils will pass it, because they can affect every cell of your body. Even within 20 minutes of application, they are metabolized like, you know, like other nutrients. So that is one thing that I would say that would be a very useful thing to what Libby is talking about, having essential oils. It may detoxify cells and the blood, you know, anytime in the body. And it can remove metallic particles and toxins even from the air. Because how does it do it? It increases atmospheric oxygen. Makes it more available to you and to your cells. And so that is one thing I can say about that, that can help. So if you work in the hospital environment, like me as a chaplain, when I work in the hospital, I always have essential oils around me. I will rub it all around me. And then you can also bring it to your nose and breathe it in. It goes right in also to protect you. Just leave the bottle and breathe it in. So they are very powerful things that you can have around you as first aid material.
I was hoping, and I got what I hoped for, because I was hoping that there would be a balance for us when I bring something to you and you bring something to me. Mm-hmm. I like to know that there's something we can do. And essential oils is one powerful way to prevent illness, keep you in balance. And then, if there's a problem, that's an option for you. This is where I always do this. When you go into the hospital, hospital staff is there to fix something. It's a broken bone. It's an infection. It's a headache. You want them to fix it. My blood pressure is high. Mm-hmm. I need you to fix it. Because high blood pressure will send you into other problems. It will involve your organs and disrupt everything if you don't fix it. What we do, and I say we because all the friends of Libby are usually in the preventative mode when we come and talk with you, is that we want to avoid these things. So if something like rubbing a little oil on you or taking a little oil in you, think castor oil so I can make you go, but it works. Then consider doing that. And then if you need somebody to fix it, truly, you know, you can't do it yourself or you got to it a little too late, then have someone help you in that white lab coat to fix it. And then go back home, do your homework, and get on it so that you don't have to go back anymore. I want to tell you that medicinenet.com gives you the signs and symptoms and a little more information on Candida auris. The signs and symptoms are very simple here. There are different types of infections, those in the bloodstream, a wound, and or even the ears. So because the symptoms can vary greatly, a lab test is needed to determine whether a patient has the Candida auris infection. I just told you that we need specified or specific lab equipment to spot it. It doesn't just show up under any normal usual piece of equipment, because it's that kind of strain. You know, it was first reported in 2009 in Japan. Mm. It was reported. Then the earliest known strain dates all the way back to 1996. And that was in South Korea. Interesting how you can live somewhere, read all you read, and do what you do, but you don't realize that in 2009, this thing was first reported. Now I gotta ask, first reported to who? Then the word emerging bothers me. This isn't on the paper. Emerging bothers me because it says here that the emerging pathogen, because of the increasing numbers, had been identified in multiple countries since then. And those reported countries were 20, a number of 20, including the U.S. Now, the risk factors include recent surgery. So if you've had a recent surgery, you got to be careful. If you have diabetes, you got to be careful. Too sweet. I always tease people who are my diabetic friends. You're a little too sweet. Then there's the broad spectrum. Yeah, that's what I call them. You're my too sweet. Then they tell me to shut up, Libby. So broad spectrum antibiotics, if you've been on those, you got to be careful. Be aware that this thing can happen. And if you have been using an antifungal medication, be careful. And the reason for this is because after using those, your immune system for this particular strain is weakened enough to get in and get going. So people have spent time in nursing homes and have lines and tubes that go into their body.
Wow.
Those are the ones that are the most susceptible. It's a shame, but it's the truth. So if you had a breathing tube, a central venous catheter, or a feeding tube, you're at high risk. I didn't notice the urine, you know, having the tube for the urine, but it wasn't on there, so all I can do is question it. But it is a tube, and it goes in the body, and people handle those tubes. Because what I'm getting from this article is that this has to do with cross-contamination. And Dr. Akele said, you can negate a lot of things just by washing your hands. It can go from the infant to the elderly. Now, picture this. It's a shame, but it's the truth. Some of our babies are in the what we call the NICUs, the neonatal ICUs. They have tubes everywhere. So they are very susceptible to this strain. Now, they want to know how it spreads. It's a shame, but it's the truth. The CDC conducted a whole genome sequencing of this C. auris specimens from countries. Now, guess where they come from? You ready for this? The specimens came from regions of Eastern Asia, Southern Asia, Southern Africa, and Southern America. The computers don't do it, Libby. Don't do it. The conspiracy theory, it jumped in my head as soon as I read this, and I said, ain't going to do it, Dr. Akele. I'm not going to go there, Dr. Akele. I remember our Tuskegee Airmen, Dr. Akele. I remember the bird flu. All right. So right now I want you to do talktainmentradio.com. Now you know, you know we go where you go, right? Download Talktainment Radio app to your cell or tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio the way it should be heard. Now we're going to find out about this here Candida thing. Up next on talktainmentradio.com.
Black Women Columbus. Jazz, Eggs, and Friends. Saturday, May the 11th at the Boathouse Restaurant. Hosted by Talktainment Radio's Kahari Inaharo. Featuring Bobby Floyd, Mark Hampton, Derek Norris, Lisa Griffin, Darshell Williams, Dean Sims, Kristen Bynum, and Deja Mitchell. For tickets, call 614-572-1310 or go to 100blackwomencolumbus.org.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Have you ever wished you could spend more time with your kids, or maybe quality time with your spouse, when you can actually have an uninterrupted conversation? Do you owe your dad a little catch-up time? Well, it's time to reconnect, and no activity can bond a family together quite like boating and fishing. I mean, think of all the great experiences you had as a kid when you went boating or fishing. Well, guess what? It's still great. Boating and fishing are the perfect opportunities for your family to get away, to talk, to laugh, to create new memories. So take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you. If you haven't been on the water in a while and you're not sure where to start, or if you just like to have some helpful tips for your next trip, please visit TakeMeFishing.org. This has been a public service of TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence Magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
I've got the water, energy bars, and camera. I think we're set for the hike.
Almost. We need to protect our skin. Don't forget your wide-brimmed hat and sunscreen.
All right. I've got the hat. I've got SPF 30. Will that work?
Yeah, anything 15 or higher is good. Just make sure it says broad spectrum.
Great. Got it. I am not getting burned again. Let's go.
Learn more at cdc.gov/cancer.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of a Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. This is Libby, and you're listening to This is Libby. And with us is Dr. Akele. So call 1-877-932-9766 and talk to you some Libby and Dr. Akele. Now, I was telling you about Candida auris, because it's huge, it's deadly, and easily transferred to patients who have weakened immune systems. And those are usually found in hospital settings and or healthcare facilities. So I wanted to share a little bit more with you because, yes, I did inject a little bit of something called the possibility of conspiracy theory. That's just how I roll. I gotta think on one end of the spectrum and then the other end of the spectrum. What I'd like to share with you now is the fact that in Eastern Asia, Southern Africa, and South America, the sequence of this genome was it was worked on, you know, it was researched, and what they found is that the whole genome sequence produces DNA fingerprints of organisms. These result in the isolates within each region, and they're quite similar to one another. So when they do the research, what they found is the DNA fingerprint was similar to one another, but relatively different across certain regions. I found that interesting. They did not list those. So these differences suggest that Candida auris has emerged independently in multiple regions roughly at the same time. I find that to be most interesting. And it says that it is unlikely that routine travel to countries documented would be an increased chance of getting sick from Candida auris. So if you travel and you do your normal, usual frolicking and enjoying yourself, all of that, you probably won't encounter this. But if you are already in a hospital for a long period of time, you have an increased risk. So as long as you stay healthy, go have fun, get back on the plane or the boat or whatever you did to get there and come on home, you're probably going to be fine. My concern is for those who are long-term hospital or long-term healthcare facilities, because that's where the source of the problem has come from. Then I'll go ahead and answer a question that I ask. And it was, is this treatable? And Dr. Akele told us that there are natural forms, natural tools, ways to prevent and or treat. And they are very, very nice compared to being in a hospital. Right. However, it says here, and I'm going to pronounce this word. You know how Libby does. If I can't pronounce it, I'm going to spell it for you so you can get it. But most C. auris infections are treatable with antifungal drugs called eicinocannabinoids. And I'll do it again. Eicinocannabinoids. That's just in case I said it wrong. And some Candida auris infections have been resistant to all three main classes of antifungal meds, which makes it more difficult to treat. Question. You can die? Yes, you can. And the information just says, invasive infestation of any Candida species can be fatal. However, based on the information that has been received from limited numbers of patients, 30 to 60% of the people with Candida auris infections have died. Many of these people have other serious illnesses that also increase their risk of death. So hopefully the balance in this is that, yes, you can die from the infection. However, the ones who do pass away are usually the ones who have a compromised immune system. It may have been something else that brought them into the hospital and had them put on life support, or had catheters put in for the heart to help the heart, or any kind of tubing, IV tubing. Most everyone receives an IV, most, if you have to stay long in the ER. It's not long if you get in there and they find that you got a problem, they got to take a little bit more time, you get an IV. It's a shame, but it's the truth. I got to tell you this because it's important for you to be up on all these things that could happen to you. Now, how does it spread? Contact with contaminated environmental surfaces or equipment or from person to person. More work is needed to understand how it spreads. Now, this is where I'm going to ask Dr. Akele, is there anything organic we can do? Is there anything at all? What do you have to share with us?
Well, you are talking about, if I heard you correctly, about people who probably, did you say about people who have left the hospital environment who are discharged, or people who are still in the hospital?
Well, the problem comes when you are in the hospital for a long period of time,
right,
or a healthcare facility for a long period of time,
okay,
especially if you have tubes that you've had to be, handle while you were being worked on or helped and guided through your illness or your problem in some way. Usually if you encounter the fungus, based on what I read, you're there in the hospital, or if you've left the hospital or the healthcare facility, you may have to go back to the hospital because of symptoms.
Right.
Okay. So I was thinking about the organic way to handle.
Yes, and that is where it means the person has had a very compromised immune system.
Correct.
And that immune system has to be addressed, because that we are able to attract disease and incubate disease means that the immune system has been largely compromised.
Correct.
Even for ordinary cold, you can easily catch it because you are now susceptible to it. Your body becomes now porous and it can infect you. So for persons like that, I'm not very sure what they can do in this if they are still in the hospital community, I mean in the environment, except if they have a way of controlling what goes inside them, because when we sickness, more often than not, is as a result of what goes inside the body.
Okay, so here's what I picked up. Contaminated environmental surfaces. That means somebody needs to wash their hands.
Yes.
Wash the furniture. Wash the linen. Wash. The word is a four-letter word. Wash.
Yes. And in that case, if it is possible, even in that environment, for someone to bring a spray, bottle mixed with water and a mixture of essential oils, they will kill off bacteria. They will clean the environment. Apart from that, they will also improve the aromatic condition in the environment, because the oils they are so tiny that they leap into the air and they can actually dehumidify the environment. and cleanse it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, all bacteria around will just, they will disappear. That's why, like, in a home, mm-hmm. you can have not a dehumidifier
mm-hmm.
or humidifier. Something that you can use to, you put some oil inside it, and then you plug it to electricity.
Correct.
And then it will be evaporating, you know, it will be going into the air, and it just gives it a different environment, a different scent of smell, mm-hmm. sense of smell.
Mm-hmm.
And those, as people breathe it in, it goes into the system. It goes right into the blood. So in that case, it is helpful. Cleaning, washing, like you said, the environment, washing the hand, making sure that whoever comes in around the patient, you know, takes charge of that cleanliness. That is very important. It's going to help. Now, if such individuals go home, I would suggest that they begin to watch, especially what they put inside their body, because there are also natural fruits and vegetables.
Yes, there are.
They can continue to ingest to detoxify their body.
I will I'll start at the beginning of your answer. In the medical field, very few fragrances are allowed.
Okay.
I remember we were not permitted to wear perfumes at all. There's mm-hmm. some patients who are sensitive.
Right.
So the smell of patchouli will send them into coughing spells or headaches, or so you have to, you know, you have to remember that.
Yes.
And then I remember, and when I was working in the medical field mm-hmm. of 34 years, bleach was the perfume mm-hmm. of
you
the hospital.
All the time.
Later on, mm-hmm. you could have some fragrances to make things smell nice, but they were selected by the hospital and provided by the hospital to be used. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've been into some healthcare facilities for when people get out of the hospital, you know, they have to go for a little bit more care.
Mm-hmm.
They don't smell like bleach, and they don't smell like oils. They have their own natural, they don't smell very well. So, you know, then when I'm hearing about the, you know, the environmental uh-huh. surfaces, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, they're wide open for this. But I think that's why this article is targeting where it's found, so we can do something about it. And something as simple as washing your hands. I know most of the time now they wear gloves.
Right.
But mm-hmm. If you're, I'll step out there. If you mm-hmm. have your gloves on, mm-hmm. and you're concentrating on working on your patient, and then you move your hand across the table, you just might to pick up something.
Mm-hmm.
Then that surface may leave you open to the virus, the fungus. I want to say virus because I'm always thinking about viruses. This is why it threw me off like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have to be cognizant of handling your equipment in these places.
Right.
And I think the article is targeting mm-hmm. this particular, because that's where the problem is being found.
Mm-hmm.
There are...
In handling things.
Handling things. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, if you're not using gloves, which I can't imagine why anybody wouldn't be in mm-hmm. those facilities,
right.
Then you must wash your hands. You must become just all, what do children call it? Anal. You must become like anal to make sure that this is taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
What other suggestions do you have or information? Because I picked up on mm-hmm. Some natural substances that can be used, especially for prevention.
Yes, and in today's world, there are a lot of toxic chemicals that are used for cleaning.
That's true.
That they lock around our homes behind the bathroom mm-hmm. Sink, behind the kitchen sink. Some of those, one has to be careful. And some of them are also used in the hospital setting and used in the, you know, not just in the home, even in the hospital setting. And some of those products have things that, when breathed in, affect, you know, they affect the heart.
That's true. That's true.
And sometimes really directly. So some people are highly sensitive to some of these, while others may not be. Others maybe may tolerate it. But there are certain people that once they smell it, mm-hmm. they begin to be nauseated. They can begin to throw up. And the danger is that for those who may not feel it immediately, the continuous smelling and inhalation of these things causes sickness on the long run. You have things like alcohol, isopropylene. Mm-hmm.
Just our little old bottle of alcohol and the
propylene glycol.
Mm-hmm, and the white bottle.
You have benzene. You have brominated vegetable oil.
Yes.
Some of these things have chemicals in them, like tetrasodium pyrophosphate, EDTA, some of those, and even the ones that we spray on the plants very close to where we walk around, where our kids play around, that kill weeds or kill insects.
Yes.
They are also very, very, they affect the delicate parts of the skin, mm-hmm. and gradually they travel into the body. So even though we're talking about these fungus, and infection in the medical setting, we come back from the hospital and come home and we still embrace some of these things that are toxic mm-hmm. to our system.
Yes.
So we have to be very careful that when we take care of our environment, we note that we have to clear our homes of these things that can that can increase the toxic load in our body. And when we have so much toxic load, we are susceptible to illness.
Well, you know what I want to do? In addition to everything that you shared with me, right. there was a reference for, because I was looking for natural things to prevent problems having to do with yeasts and different bacterias. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to do your homework with this one, okay? Right. Check out the shiitake mushroom. Check out the reishi mushroom. Mm-hmm. Check out lycopene, lycopene. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then turmeric. Mm-hmm. And then the curcumin. Yes, curcumin.
Yeah, that's the yeah. active ingredient in the turmeric.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for helping me, because that yeah. one was getting to me. Yes. And then for your homework, I want you to look up bitter melon and see what you can find out about bitter melon. It's amazing what the Creator has put in front of us to take into our bodies to keep us in balance and to prevent problems. Stacy Wiggins of Stacy Wiggins World of Wellness says breathing actually helps you to negate illness and lose weight. Now that I'm going to look for that one. Mm-hmm. And he said to go check it out and get back with him on that. And I want you to hold him accountable. Call him up on his show, Wiggins World of Wellness, and talk to him about breathing. So if we're taking in, so to kind of sum it up, this fungus is very serious, and you better take it serious, because like the measles, this thing is on the move. Mm-hmm. Now, measles is a whole nother conversation as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, it was almost gone. It was almost gone. And now, here it is again, surfacing all over our country. And, of course, the controversy is that some people do not want to be vaccinated.
Right.
Right. And I don't blame them. However, if it's leaving you susceptible to measles or any other disease, it's something we're going to have to talk about at another time. I know it is. Mm-hmm. You've got some information for me, and it had to do with the essential oils. I know that's really, really your passion. Is there any advice that you would give our listeners here? Any advice at all about any particular thing?
Yes. Well, actually, one of the areas that I really feel passionate about is, you know, when I see people struggling to ward off excess weight, and also to prevent allergies and breathing problems. And I do know that much of this comes from, you know, the way they handle what goes inside their body, the way they eat. So I know that from experience that it is possible for people to ward off excess weight, men, women, or children, if they learn especially how to eat, how not to eat, how to drink, even water, and how not to drink, what to eat, when to eat, and what not to eat, and when not to eat. These aspects are the things that actually keep you away from disease. And on that note, I want to say that I can actually coach you and let you know that growing old does not make us sick.
Oh,
but
uh-oh.
It is growing sick that makes us old.
Oh, I like that. We got to write that down.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to know how to grow old gracefully, graciously, and not grow sick all the time.
I just think it's unfair that we work so hard to get older.
Right.
And then just start breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
We used to break down. When we said break down when we were younger, we were talking about dancing.
Right. Uh-huh.
And now, you know, bones are moving around and things are making noise. And
I'm making noise. And then and we can actually reduce that frequency anyway. I'm not saying that we're going to stay young or not sick all the time, because every day our cells give way. They die. And then new cells build up. But if you don't know how to help your body build new cells naturally, then you are going to continually go on that downward trend much more quicker than necessary.
Mm-hmm. So how do we reach you? If we want to contact you, do you have an email address where we can reach you? What is it?
Dr. Ekele N at gmail.com.
Okay, see? So if you have questions...
Dr.Ekele N@gmail.com.
Yeah. So see, if you really want to contact her, get some more information, you can. And what I really appreciate you coming here with me.
Thank you so much.
Because this is some serious stuff. We haven't seen anything yet. We're just now recognizing, I will say just now recognizing, but measles is out there.
Right.
And then, you know, prior to that, it was AIDS. Prior to that, it was another disease, bird flu, and all these things. And we're still here. So you must be doing something right. You understand what I'm saying to you? Continue to treat your body as a piece of divine equipment that you have been given to stay here. You wouldn't put sugar in your car, right? And you wouldn't put oil where the water should be and the water where the oil should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have plenty of air in your tires, right? So if you're going to look at your body this way, then you're thinking it's a magnificent piece of equipment that needs a certain amount of care and regimen. You can do this. It's not really that difficult. We've been commercialized to believe that supersizing is the way to go.
No.
You say no.
I say no because it comes with its own problems anyway, and I think it comes with more problems than undersizing.
Well, you know, a portion, an average portion. I mean, let's do coffee. You know, I love coffee, right? I don't overdo it. I drink one cup a day. Sometimes a little more, but that depends. However, a cup of coffee for us is really served in a mug. And when you buy a cup of coffee when you're out, it's served in a very tall container.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked at the size of a real coffee cup. And it's just enough to make me mad.
Okay, yeah. Anyway,
is there a substitute for coffee? Real quick now.
Oh, yeah, there are. Actually, coffee is best used medicinally, not dietarily.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways for coffee because it is also it's an irritant.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is. There are other things that are classed with it. So I personally never drink coffee I don't drink coffee because it puts you high, gives you some high, and then it brings you some low, and then you want to reach out for more.
She's talking about my coffee. Listen, everyone, this has been wonderful.
We can talk about that another
talk time. TalkTaimitRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard.